This is Insight on Cap Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. All right, let's give you a little bit of entertainment to look ahead to. One of the most popular film festivals for fans of environmental and activist movies is the Wild and Scenic Film Festival in Nevada City and Grass Valley, California. It returns January 16th to the 20th. More than 140 film choices with 16 world premieres. In the studio with me, back for a visit, is Melinda Booth. She is a past director of the festival, now executive director of South Yuba River Citizens League, which presents the festival. Hi, Melinda.
Good
glad
morning.
To have you here. What's the story behind that title, Wild and Scenic?
Sure. So we named this film festival in honor of the South Yuba River Citizens League big win back in 1999 of securing state wild and scenic status for 39 miles of the South Yuba River. And that's why the organization was formed, was to protect that river.
So this year's theme is regeneration, meaning what?
Yeah, so every year we try to come up with a theme that we feel like is going to be meaningful and relevant and be able to be expressed through film and art. And this year, the theme really gestures towards renewal and the possibilities of how to restore the earth and the human communities while creating a positive future for the next generation.
Let me just say the artwork on this year's program is truly stunning. Drawings of everything from the bear to the eagle to the trout to the birds, the frogs. Who did this?
We are so thrilled with our artwork this year. Artist, naturalist, and author Obi Kaufman drew this artwork for us, and we're just thrilled to have it. And he's going to be at the festival as well and have some art on exhibit and also be doing a live drawing, which is really exciting to have him there.
All right. So there are workshops, art exhibits, there's music, programs for young people. You can meet filmmakers and activists and special guests. Let's get to a clip of a movie right now. And we're going to start with a movie titled Sea of Shadows. Do you want to give a brief overview before we listen?
Sure. So Sea of Shadows takes place in the Sea of Cortez, and it's really about an effort to save one of the most endangered species on the planet, the vaquita, which is a small dolphin. And there's some illegal trade happening of a fish species, and the vaquita is a bycatch, so it's seriously endangered. And this is a multi-agency and organizational effort to try and save this species.
If we don't save the vaquita, we will lose the most beautiful places on the planet. I keep thinking about the moment when only one vaquita will be left in the wild.
This is a war against the extinction of a species.
We have to hold on to the hope that it's going to work.
The poachers are unacceptable. They'll take any means necessary.
Clock's ticking.
We will fight for every single life. We won't stop.
So that is Sea of Shadows. When's the opportunity to see that film?
That is going to screen twice at the festival, so you can check it out Saturday midday at our Osborne Woods Hall venue or Sunday afternoon at the Nevada Theater.
Now let's go to what I'm going to say is an intimate, close-to-home film. This one is titled The Sacramento at Current Speed. So we're going to begin by listening to a clip which will tell you a lot about this film.
I have this idea in my head of a perfect river, a long, slow river, where you have the time to feel the current under your oars. Go as long as you want, 30, 40, 100 miles. If you're lucky, maybe see some wildlife, sleep on an empty sand beach, wake up to the sound of a noisy beaver. And then to stumble on this place and find that it really exists and that it's here, almost in my own backyard.
I'm sure a lot of people wonder why rowing 300 miles down the Sacramento seemed like a good idea. To some people it's perfectly self-evident. There's the Huck Finn aspect of being able to just row away from our troubles for a little bit and float down the river at current speed for a while.
Like most people, my knowledge of the Sacramento came from a glimpse out of a car window on Interstate 80. Then slowly, section by section, I started to get to know this place. to see what was down here, and I wondered, how far could I go? I knew the section below Reading pretty well, but on the map, it looked like it might be possible to row all the way to the Delta, 300 miles, right down the center of California.
Who knew how long that float could be and that you could do it? Just listening to the clip, not even seeing the full film, I'm there.
I know, it's in our backyard, and it's wild and an amazing experience of nature in our backyard.
All right. So when and where to see this film?
So that also plays twice, Saturday afternoon at the Nevada Theater, or you can catch it Sunday morning at the Gold Miners Inn.
We've posted a link to all the information about the upcoming 18th annual Wild and Scenic Film Festival. Melinda Booth is in the studio with me. We have time for one more. It's titled Life of Pi. It is not the Academy Award-winning Life of Pi, P-I, but this is P-I-E, and it has to do with pizza pie and mountain biking.
Yeah, so it's a little bit lighter of a film. It's one of our adventure shorts and really talks about community and about people who care about a landscape, making a life and valuing place and figuring out how to make it all work.
Let's listen to a clip.
Isn't there a Susan B. Anthony quote about riding bikes? Something like, I'm gonna trash this, but something about that was like the best invention to emancipate women was the bicycle. Something along those lines. Because it gave people freedom. And I know when I was a teenager and stuck in my own skin trying to figure out who the hell I was, and I would just go ride my bike. For me personally, it just soothes my soul.
And that takes us back to 2002 and two mountain bikers who are also entrepreneurs who were looking for a place and freedom to ride, and pizza works in there somewhere.
Right. So they decided to settle in the little town of Fruita, Colorado, and started a pizza restaurant. And I've actually been there on my last road trip.
What was the yardstick or the criteria for inviting filmmakers in? This film festival has now become so popular that I know you get hundreds of entries.
Right. We review so many films, and we really try to pick the films that are telling the stories that are timely, that are telling an inspiring story, and are going to be able to resonate with people, that people are going to want to watch and come away from feeling like they want to take action and make a difference, and also feeling like they can and it's worthwhile. We do need to stay hopeful in these times.
Some additional films to mention, one particularly scenically beautiful takes us through the Grand Canyon.
Yes, into the canyon. It is a visually stunning film, you're right. Photojournalist Pete McBride, author Kevin Fidarko, both past attendees at the film fest. We've had other films from Pete as well. And they decide to do a continuous hike through the Grand Canyon. And so most people go through the Grand Canyon on a boat if they're going to go through it, or they hike down and back out. But Pete and Kevin decide to walk the length of the Grand Canyon on foot. And that's a treacherous expedition, in fact.
And when and where does that one show?
Into the Canyon, we also have screening twice. I'm going to look it up just real quick because I don't know off the top of my head.
The program is fabulous, by the way. Alphabetic order with descriptions and information about the films.
72-page book about the festival.
Wow.
But you can catch Into the Canyon Saturday night at Osborne Woods or midday on Sunday at the Nevada Theater.
Okay. And just a quick note about how you've engaged young people in the area.
Sure. So youth is a big part of what we do. And so we actually have some programming for youth that happens even pre-official fest. So we curate three different programs for youth, K through 12, and offer in theater screenings for kids to come and join. But we also have family-friendly 3D films that kick off the festival on Thursday night. We do a Saturday morning session of films for youth, our Saturday morning kid films. We have a youth workshop that we have happening. It's this year, Youth Rise Up, a student activist play shop. So folks can come out and get involved and find young colleagues who are inspired to take action and interested in the environment.
Melinda, I think this is your life. I really do. But for people who are making it their life and their love, the workshops are critical. What are the possibilities for learning and growing at the festival?
Sure. So it's not just film, as you've done a good job explaining. That's the core and the center of what we do. But there's so much more happening at the festival. We have activist workshops for youth and for adults, for folks of all ages. But all day Saturday and all day Sunday, next weekend, you can check out an activist workshop for free. We have over 10 workshops. We have coffee talks. We have fireside chats where you actually can dive into some of these issues. You come away from some of these films. They're heavy, and you want to talk about them, and you want to connect and learn more. And so some of these workshops and talks are a way to actually dive in deeper and engage and to talk to experts in the field.
What else to know for first-time festival goers? Anything to bring? Anything to be aware of? Parking issues?
Oh, parking's always a challenge in our little foothills town, but there's ways around it, and we have information on our website about how to make it as easy as possible. So just be willing to walk a little bit. Wear your layers, right? It's cold outside in January, and it's warm inside the film venues, but just come with an open mind. And anywhere you end up, I think you're going to be surprised at what you'll have with the programming that you'll have in front of you. It's really content-rich material.
Well, kudos to you and your team of young and inspired people who have not only done a terrific job in outreach, but continue to let everybody know in terms of the opportunities there to participate, to learn, and to grow. Once again, it's not this weekend. It is next weekend in Nevada City and Grass Valley, January 16th to the 20th. Thank you so much. Good luck with the festival.
Thank you.
Melinda Booth. And we are talking about the 18th Annual Wild and Scenic Film Festival. It's in Nevada City in Grass Valley, California. You can find information at capradio.org/insight. And that's Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruyak with producers Helen Barrington, Cynthia Lopez. And we want to extend a warm welcome to our newest producer, Kyle McKinnon, who has joined our team in this new year. Our digital team is Chris Hagen, Emily Zentner, and Helga Salinas. Our technical director is Mark Jones. Our engineer is Antonio Munez. Insight's managing editor is Aram Sarkissian. And Joe Barr is Cap Radio's chief content officer. Thanks for joining us. We're back with another live show tomorrow.